Titus chapter 2, verses 1 to 10.
You must teach what is in accord with sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. Teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything, to try to please them, and not to talk back to them, and not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God our Saviour attractive.
Please keep your Bibles open there at Titus chapter 2. Let's pray. Father God, as we approach your word now, we pray, Lord, that you would help us to do so, prepared to hear from you. Pray that you would work in our hearts, Lord, as we hear these instructions, Lord, on how we might live in a way that honours you. And we pray that you would help us by your Holy Spirit to take these things on board and to apply them to our lives. Not so that we can earn favour with you, Lord, but so that we can bring you glory for the wonderful mercies we have received through Christ. And we pray this in his name. Amen. I was going to preach on a bigger section this morning than I'm actually going to preach on. There's just so much in this passage I'd have you here till afternoon tea time, so we'll do our best. These days, they say that Facebook is for old people. At least that's what the young people tell me. And so I'm finding myself more and more in the old people category. Depends on your perspective, of course. Because Facebook is one of those places where you can keep a contact with all your friends and family all around the world, but all the younger people have moved on to TikTok and all sorts of other things. But Facebook is a place where you can know lots of things about people without actually knowing them genuinely at all. A place where you can present all the really good parts of your life, all the things that have gone well, all your achievements, success, all of the things that have worked out just how you want it, without ever showing your failures, the things that you aren't proud of, the things you don't want anyone to know. It's a bit like the way that we prepare our houses for a guest. Now, we all do it. I'm assuming we all do it. When we might get that phone call, we've got a friend or a family member coming. And so all of a sudden, all the things that we were going to do aren't important anymore because now the vacuum's out. We're madly vacuuming, cleaning the toilet, the bathroom. We're getting rid of all those clothes that have and clutter that's been hanging around for months, but now it's really important it has to go. Also, our guests can... I'm seeing talking out the back there. They're talking about how we do it at home. Also, our house is always pristine, just so you know. Yeah. Also, our guests can believe that our houses are constantly in this pristine state, which, as I said, our house is always in that state. But real life, life in community, isn't like that, is it? Especially in smaller communities like ours. In small communities like ours, people tend to know a lot about each other, sometimes without even knowing each other all that well. People might know what our hobbies are. They might know about our achievements. They might know about the really tough times that we've been through. And so No matter how much we would like to present a Facebook-like image of who we are in our community, just presenting all the good things and keeping all the bad things to ourselves, all the hard things or all the failures, you can't live like that in a small community. Not without excluding yourself from the community completely. Because whether we want to or not, the people in our community tend to find out about who we are, about what we do, and about what is important to us. They find out about the times when we've made a silly decision that we're embarrassed about, or a mistake that we wish we could undo. When you live in a small community, there's no hiding the real you, because sooner or later, people find out. They find out what's important to us. They find out how we treat our spouses, how we treat our children, how we treat the people in our community. They find out the good, the bad, and the ugly. And whether we like it or not, they look at the way that we live and the things that we say, and they interpret how important the good news of Jesus is to us. And they do this because they want to know how important it should be to them. And that's why in today's passage, Paul is encouraging Titus to teach the believers in Crete to live in the light of the hope they have in Jesus, not just with their words, but also with their actions, so that those around them might see the hope they have in Jesus and want it for themselves. The end of the previous chapter, chapter 1, Paul warned Titus about people who claim to know God, people who said all the right things, but who denied him by their actions. And so in today's passage, Paul is showing Titus how the believers in Crete, how they can live in a way that represents the name of Jesus in a positive way in their community. Now, this section is divided up by three so that statements. You are to do this so that. And so they are the three bits we're focusing on today. In verses 1 to 5, Paul is encouraging those who trust in Jesus to invest in each other's lives so that no one dishonors the word of God by their actions. Now, as Paul begins this section, he tells Titus to teach sound doctrine. The word sound is actually a medical term and can be translated healthy. Titus is to instruct the believers how to live in a spiritually healthy way so that they can encourage each other in the faith. To the older men, now he doesn't put an age on this. The older men are any men who are older than the younger men. Paul gives these instructions. Firstly, the older men are to be temperate, not quick-tempered, not impatient, but slow to speak and quick to listen. They are to be worthy of respect. Or in other words, they are to be good examples of what a mature Christian who has walked with the Lord for many years would look like. They are to be self-controlled. There's no bounds on that. That includes every area of our lives. And they are to be sound in the faith. Or in other words, they are to know what God's word says and why they believe what God's word says. Finally, they are to display love in the way that they care for each other. The older men are to display endurance. Or in other words, they are to show stability and a steadfastness in their walk with the Lord, one that the younger men can look up to. To the older women, which again, there's no age put on this. I would not be that brave as to try and put an age on this. It's any women who are older than the younger women. Paul gives these instructions. They are to be reverent in the way that they live. That is, they should live in a way that doesn't dishonor the name of Jesus in any way. They are not to be slanderers or gossips, quick to speak against somebody. They should not be addicted to much wine. And they are to be able to teach what is good. And that is very important, because that is so that the young women in the body of Christ might have the opportunity to learn from the experience and wisdom of these older Christian women. These older women, just like the older men, are not to live godly lives for their own sake, but for the purpose of encouraging the younger generation in their walk with the Lord, to be an example for those who come after them in the faith. As Paul turns his attention to the younger women, Paul instructs the older women to urge the younger women to love their husbands and children. Now, in those days, it was quite common and regularly practiced that the younger women would be put into arranged marriages. So in these verses, Paul is assuming that all of the younger women are already married. And we know it's different in our context, but in this context, all of the young women would have been in arranged marriages. And some of those marriages may not have been to believing men. But all of these young women, even in that circumstance, were called to be self-controlled in every area of their lives. They are to be pure, to avoid anything that leads them into sin. And they are to love their husbands and their children. They are to be kind and show Christ's love to those around them. And I know I'm doing them out of order, but I'm doing them out of order for a reason. And then there are these two final ones, which I'm going to address, that are very often rejected in our culture. The first is they are to be busy at home. Paul is encouraging these women to actively look after their husband and their children in their home. Now, this doesn't mean that wives shouldn't work out of the home, nor does it mean that wives should do all the work in the home. But by doing some of the chores around the house, the wife is able to care for and love their husband and their children. Just as husbands helping their wives with those same chores is a way that a husband can care for his wife. And then Paul finally, he gives this most controversial instruction in this section. These young wives are to be subject to their husbands. Now, that doesn't mean that when the husband says jump, she's to say how high. That's not what it's saying. I think the best explanation of what this is saying is found in 1 Peter chapter 3, where it says, "Wives, in the same way, be submissive to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives." Or in other words, when a believing wife encourages her husband to lead, when she is acting in a godly, gracious way in the home, when she is loving her husband and her children, she will be displaying a life that has been reshaped by the good news of Jesus. And her husband, whether he believes or not, will take notice. She'll be professing Christ through her actions. These verses are teaching that those who trust in Jesus, no matter how old they are, whether young or old, are called to live in community and to invest in the lives of each other, so that we can help each other to reflect the truth and the beauty of God's word to our communities, and so that no one has anything bad to say about any of us or the good news of Jesus. In verses 6 to 8, Paul is encouraging those who trust in Jesus to be a living example of integrity, so that none of us give anyone a reason to say anything bad about those who trust in Jesus. Now, Paul had told Titus how to instruct the older men, the older women, and the younger women. But in these verses, he turns his attention to the younger men. To the older men, he gave 6 instructions. To the older women, he gave 4 instructions. And to the younger women, he gave another 6 instructions. But to the young men, he gives just 1. And many commentators believe that's because young men can only handle dealing with one thing at a time. The young men are to be self-controlled. Now, even though the young men are only given this one instruction, it is by far the most comprehensive instruction of them all. If you're observant, you would have noticed that it was also given to the older men and to the younger women. But by being self-controlled, the rest of the fruit of the Spirit follows. If the young men are being self-controlled, they will be making sensible, clear-headed, Holy Spirit-led decisions. They will be quick to listen, slow to speak. They will have control over their passions and their desires, whether that be at work, whether that be over their hobbies, or whether that be regarding their sexual desires. So that in all things, they are to be self-controlled and put Jesus in the center of their decisions and choices. And because Titus himself was a young man, who is thought to have been around 20 years younger than Paul, Paul refers to him as a son in the faith. He was that much younger. Paul encourages Titus to set himself as an example to these young men. Titus is to show integrity in his teaching. That is, in his life and his actions have to match what he is teaching. That is a very high calling. He is to teach the word of God without bias, without compromise, and without getting caught up in his own hobby horses. Titus is to show seriousness in the way that he teaches. He is to show what is at stake for those who have been led astray by the culture around them and by the false teachers who are in that congregation. And he is to show the seriousness of the consequences for those who claim to know God, but who deny him by their actions. And finally, he is to teach with soundness of speech, so that the truth of God's word cannot be condemned. Paul knew that young men are often the weak link in the chain when it comes to being self-controlled. And so he's encouraging the young men, including Titus, to be self-controlled so that their words and their actions might bring glory to God and display the hope that they have in Jesus to their community. In verses 9 to 10, Paul is encouraging those who trust in Jesus to demonstrate godly character so that the beauty of the gospel shines clearly through us. Now, I said that the instruction for wives to submit to their husbands was controversial in our culture, but here we have one which was far more contentious. Because when a lot of people hear the word slave, their brain instantly goes to the historical American slavery model. But what Paul is referring to here, the form of slavery, is a lot broader category than that. A slave in the Greek world would have included some who are in miserable conditions. That has to be recognized. But it also includes those who are in apprenticeship or indentured kind of relationships, some who are domestic workers, and some who are even in high positions in government office. And the people who Paul is addressing here were free to go and worship with the believers in Crete. So there were people who were experiencing some freedom. And so when Paul tells us to teach slaves to be subject to their masters, he isn't approving of an oppressive form of slavery. He's encouraging those who trust in Jesus to honor and respect those in authority over us, to try and please them, to not talk back to them, and to not steal from them, but to show that we can be fully trusted so that they might and we might have the opportunity to share the hope we have in Jesus. Now, we don't have this kind of indentured servant relationship in our culture. Many of us are self-employed or retired. Others do have a boss, and others here might do some contract work for various people. And so these verses are encouraging us to fulfill our obligations, whether it be to a boss or to a contractual agreement that we have made, and to do so without being argumentative, without cheating anyone in any way, and to show them that we can be fully trusted so that the beauty of the gospel might shine clearly through us into our community. Today's passage is encouraging those who trust in Jesus to live in community with each other and to share each other's lives, so that the younger men and women can learn from the experience of the older men and women who have gone before them in the faith, and so that we can help each other to live lives that are consistent with the hope we have in Jesus. Because the community, the people in our communities around us, are watching. They see how we relate to each other. They see how we interact with others in our community. And they are looking to find out if we take our faith in Jesus seriously. They're looking to how we deal in business, how we deal with others to work that out, so that they can decide for themselves whether they should take the good news of Jesus seriously themselves. Titus chapter 2 is telling us that our own personal godliness is the best way to stop those outside of the church from bringing any kind of accusation or charge against the good news of Jesus. The godliness of every member of our congregation affects the whole congregation, whether it be young or old, because we are all ambassadors for the good news of Jesus to those outside of the church. It is the pastor's responsibility to be teaching sound or healthy doctrine. But it is also the responsibility of everyone in the congregation to be responding to God's word in a way that grows them in godliness. If one member of our congregation suffers, the whole congregation suffers. If just one of us is living in a way that denies the truth of the gospel, it affects the whole congregation. And that's why Paul is encouraging Titus to teach the believers to live in community and to share their lives together. So if you are an older man or an older woman, your own personal godliness doesn't only affect you and your walk with the Lord. It affects those who come after you in the faith. Because if you aren't taking your walk with the Lord seriously, if you aren't taking your own personal godliness seriously, then they miss out on the examples of godliness that you are meant to be. And if you are a younger man or woman, then you are being encouraged by these verses to seek out older, wiser, godly believers who have gone before you, to share your life with them, to share your worries and fears and concerns with them, and to learn from them. Because living a life that matches the hope we profess in Jesus is done in community as we share our lives with each other, so that the truth and the beauty of the gospel might be clearly seen in the way that we care for and support each other in our walk with the Lord. Let's pray. Father God, we pray that you would challenge us about our own personal godliness, our own personal relationship with you. But Lord, we pray that you would help us to remember that you have created us, that you have brought us to yourself to live in community with those who have been called to bear your name. We pray, Lord, that no matter what age we are, that we might support each other in the faith, that we might be such a shining light in the communities that we live in, that those around us might see the hope we have, they might see the way we deal with others, they might see our love for each other, and they might want that for themselves. And so it's in Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.